After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
This is Raghu, and I'm back with Mind Rolling, another podcast on the Be Here Now network. And I'm with, Trevor Hall, okay, but he's not Trevor Hall to me. I'm sorry. Maybe, am I going to be divulging secrets?
No, there's no secrets.
There's no secrets, right? Do I have? Nothing.
I don't have any secrets.
Rampriya is his
Rampriya.
Name.
Rampriya.
So, yeah. Beloved of Ram, and Ram is that divine presence that's within everybody and is without everybody. It's just here. So, and my name, Raghu, is really a nickname. And I've never said this before on the podcast. I'm going to hear about
I'm
this.
I'm bringing it out of you.
Yeah, it's Raghvindra Das, which Vindra means Lord. And Raghu,
Lord of Raghu,
and it's Raghu is the race of the sun, and it means servant of Ram. Rampriya
so
is beloved of Ram.
Yeah, so basically what you're trying to say is, I'm beloved to you.
That's it. I knew okay. there was a point to this.
I just wanted to simplify it, yeah. I am your beloved.
Yes, yes. And that's the only way I think of it. And you know, listen, Trevor's been here before, but it's been a while, they told me.
Yeah, a long
couple
time.
Of years. And yeah. So I guess just to refresh, so you get an idea of how this all happened, Trevor, Rampriya, and my brother Sam, my father had a kid like way late in life, and they went to school in California together, a special arts school, and they got to be friendly, and they're both interested in music and doing music and art and so on. So I'm doing a quick version of this, okay? So you can correct me anytime.
But no, you're good.
You went in and out of his room, and there was a big picture there of this older man. He knew that his father was an older man, so it makes sense, or grandfather. Yeah. And you knew that his father was older. So you said,
I think I did.
But every time you look by it, it was, wow, that's something interesting. And you said, hey, that's your dad, right, Sam? And Sam went, what? No, that's nothing to do with my dad. That's our family guru. And that was the beginning of the end, I would call it. The beginning of like
that was the
flower
door.
Just opened.
That was walking through the door,
Yeah, so of course then I met him because of my brother, Metrev. Mm. And then that's been quite a while ago.
That was a while ago.
I've known you since you were what, 18 or something, right?
Probably, definitely.
Definitely. Maybe
18.
Even 17.
I was going to say maybe even 17,
So it's been a long time, and and we share that great love of music, and I share a great love of what transmits through you, I'll tell you that. So anybody who doesn't know, will be plenty of links up there, and you know what? Wait. So a little bit of a premise here before we even talk about anything, because if I'm going to be talking to an artist and a musician and people don't know who that is, they're missing everything, because the soul of what is there so prominently in what you, so transparently in what you do. Mm. And I want, so Trevor has a song called My Own. It's one of the songs that was part of our Ram Dass Soul Land music series, and he did an acoustic version of it, and which is really special, and it's live, so it's a wonderful live thing,
Yeah.
And
it was it was in the living room of my wife's parents' house.
That's right. You were traveling at the time. So it can happen anywhere. So, but what it expresses, I'll get you to explain it out a little bit because it's really I'm going to surprise you with something I found that I think you'll enjoy that relates to this song in particular. Absolutely does. So we're going to play My Own. This will be on the new compilation from Soulland Records, brought to you by Love Server Remember Foundation. And there's 10 or 11 or 12 tracks on it that represent what we did last fall. And of course, Rampriya, Trevor Hall will be one of them. Krishna Das and Onward and Forward from there. You know, plenty of wonderful, wonderful music. So here is a track from the album, My Own, Trevor Hall.
I don't want you to be a stranger. I just want to call you my own. My own. I don't want you to be a stranger. I want to be tied to your soul. Your soul. When you call, I come running. I tell you I waste no time. I will meet you in the sacred. Oh, beyond the borders of the mind. No more building up these walls now. I will break them down with sound. Oh, I am open. Let it be spoken. Big as the ocean. Oh, my love, it knows no bounds. Yeah, I don't want you to be a stranger. I just want to call you my own. My own. I don't want you to be a stranger. I want to be tied to your soul.
Okay, now you got to say, get the crux of how My Own came to be. And yeah. I know, since I do know, I want to hear from you.
Yeah. This song in particular was really greatly inspired by the words of Sri Sharada Devi, who was affectionately referred to as the Holy Mother. And she was the wife of a great Bengali mystic, Indian mystic named Sri Ramakrishna. She's, you know, a huge influence on my life and this and that. And one of the things that she said in instructed, I guess, in one's relationship towards spirit or the divine is that thing, right? That space, that whatever you want to call it, is
that thing
is
there,
one's
I
very
call
own.
It.
That thing,
yeah.
That thing there. Yeah. I just pray to that thing.
Yeah.
You know that it's one's very own. You know, and she stressed this point more than once. To be one's very own is the most intimate of relationships. And this, I think, when we refer to God or these big ideas of the great spirit, it sometimes feels quite far away. You know, it feels like this gigantic kind of thing. It was really radical for me to hear this from her. And not only just hearing it from her, but also just the way she explained it, the way she put it forth, this idea of one's very own, to be one's very own. Just such love and motherly, just, you know, power. Mm-hmm. And she would also kind of instruct a lot of her, you know, disciples and devotees to pray in this way, like, you know, to pray to be one's very own and like this. And when I heard this, you know, of course it was so beautiful, but I also felt so like, oh, well, I don't know if I feel that exactly. I want that. You know, I want to be, you know, one's very own like this. And I want you to be my very own, you know. So that song was just kind of created in that spirit of longing. And this longing is kind of the, you know, one of the magic elements, I think, in spiritual life. You know, it's something that's a lot of emphasis is put upon that longing in the tradition of Sarada Devi and Thakur. So, yeah, it was really greatly inspired by her. And it's something that I think about, you know, all the time. And I think all of us do experience that feeling with different relationships, different kind of almost reflections, you know, like in our human relationships and this. But to feel that with, you know, something that we don't necessarily see or, I don't know, talk to directly, to have that intimacy with that thing is I think just so incredible. And so yeah, it was just kind of really birthed from that, her words. Yeah.
Hey, you know how much I've already told you how much I love this, but it's right in my pocket. And as a result, I remembered something that was a book that I bought in India quite some time ago. There's a company called Motilal Banarsidas that has some of the greatest spiritual literature. And I don't know if this is available anymore, but I wanted you to take a look. Can you see? Get my finger out of it.
The Lord of the Meeting Rivers. Wow, Shiva. Devotional poems.
Basavana.
Wow. I've never seen that before.
Nobody has. I'm the only one who's got this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God. All right. So here, talk about devotee, right? We talk about us as devotees, all of us, right. Whether you use that Indian word or not, as long as you know there that thing there is real, then you are a devotee. Right? this is so great. To become a devotee is to surrender one's devotion. To become a fit man is to surrender one's fitness. To enter union is to surrender one's ego. Self-surrender must be in everything. The worth of this surrender, the Lord of the Meeting Rivers alone knows.
Oh, God. Yeah, you just pierced me there.
Yeah.
Cut me. Yeah. Oh, my God.
This is
gorgeous.
The whole becoming nobody thing. I'm wearing a t-shirt. You can't, I don't know if you can see it, but
I can see it. Yeah.
Ramdas, but yeah. It only nobody gets free, was what he used to say, which is how Becoming Nobody, the film, came about.
That's amazing.
How about this? I get another one.
Hit me.
Yeah, we just sit here and read poetry, man. We don't care.
hey, that's it.
Strong is the elephant, but could you say less strong the goad? No, not so. Strong is the mountain, but could you say less strong the thunderbolt? No, not so. Strong is the darkness, but could you say less strong the light? No, not so. Strong is oblivion, but could you say less strong the heart that loves you, O Lord of the Meeting Rivers?
Oh, God, man.
This shit is unreal.
So
right?
you're gonna send me that, right? You're gonna send me your only copy, right? Your only copy.
Oh, you know? God. Whenever anything like that happens, you know. God, I have a terrible story. Like we had a bunch of. I'm gonna tell this thing again. I've told it. Maybe it's gonna wash the sin from me. I was sitting in front of Maharaji and we had a bunch of pictures of him in stamps that Ramesh made. And he used to ask for them all the time. And he loved giving them. Of course, he'd give them, you know, you take the whole thing, you think you'd be five, you know, 20 people there or something. Gave the whole thing to somebody who would look like the worst asshole who was there. You know, talking about crazy judging mine. Anyhow, so he one day I was across the courtyard and he said, "Hey, anybody got any stamps?" And I go, "I had some." So I said, "Yeah." And I pull it out of the bag. He's looking at me. This isn't anything to do with powers, right? I ripped the stamps and I didn't want to, I needed to keep on half of them. Okay. And I gave it to them. You know, he looked at me and like I was the thief in the night, and he threw them at me at night. Well, I died for about, I'd say a good week that took me.
Oh, gosh.
And then he calls me up about a week later, and I still had the stamps. Anybody got any stamps? Boom. And he looked, and then he came back to me, and he went, oh, so I'll figure out how to get you the book, okay? I don't know.
Oh, my God. I'm just playing with you.
No. This book, you have a baby whose name happens to be Kailash, I think, right?
Yes, it is.
What
Mr.
are we
Kailash.
Talking about here? Kailash, right here, you know?
Mr. Kailash.
So this is, don't worry. Look out in the mail. And everybody else will figure a way how you can find a way to buy it. I don't know if it exists. You know what? Maybe we'll scan it and put it together. All right. Well, this has been a long time, although we chat and go back and forth.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But, I mean, you had a baby in the pandemic, and you know. I didn't know about. I'm still angry about
nobody,
that.
Nobody. Well, don't feel bad because it was only mainly our parents that knew.
Yeah.
You know, it was just it wasn't trying to keep anything secret or anything like that. It was just because, you know, we were in a very tricky time, and I think having a life that is a little bit in the spotlight can attract all sorts of different energies. And we just didn't want that. And I think that as the, you know, kind of pandemic was going on, I think all of us, you know, myself included, got a little crazy and that really came out a lot and you know, social media and this and that and our frustrations. And we just didn't want that energy anywhere near this, you know, huge event in our lives.
Totally.
So we knew that people would, you know, some people would be upset with us and this and that, but it was just for our own kind of journey. And honestly, I didn't know if we'd be able to do it, but we did. We did.
What?
Yeah.
But so great that we'll have to... Yeah. My way out there one of these days.
Oh my God, always welcome.
Yeah. So, but being a musician, being on the road as much as you have been on the road in the last great number of years, suddenly, oh God, the needle was taken out of that arm, and there I am. I'm going cold turkey. What was that like?
100%. To be honest, it was kind of a relief.
Oh, yeah.
I say that very hesitatingly because, you know, I know firsthand the effect that it had on people in our business and friends in our business. And it just was really, really hard to watch all that take place, you know? And so it was kind of a bittersweet feeling because in some sense I was like, God, I'm just so exhausted. I've never been home for more than perhaps a month at a time, 2 months at a time. And here I am, you know, originally it was like, oh, it's just going to be, you know, 6 months. And then, you know, and so it just kind of kept going and going. And I was relieved. I think my body was relieved in a way, but also I was experiencing a lot of sadness for, you know, people in my industry and beyond, obviously, you know, different just businesses and, you know, everything. It was just wild. But I was also lucky in a sense because I recorded, you know, our new album right before kind of the quarantine thing happened. So I did have something to sink my teeth into. You know, I was still quite busy. I was just busy at home, you know, kind of. So if I didn't have that, I think I'd be, you know, after a little while, be going a little bit more crazy than I was. It's, you know, I think like everything, doesn't matter if you're a musician or whatever you are. I mean, obviously it gave a huge perspective on things, on different things. And I think, I mean, I am still digesting it. I think all of us are still kind of digesting it. I think we'll continue to do so for quite some time after things become, quote, you know, normal.
Yeah,
it's just wild. You know, we just played, we just did two nights at Red Rocks here in Colorado. And, you know, Red Rocks is something that you kind of plan out a year in advance. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the date a year in advance and your whole world kind of revolves around that date, and you get creative and you want to, like, you know, make it as big as it can be. And, you know, they called us, you know, like a month before those concerts, you know, and said, hey, we're going to try to open up here. You know, do you want to, you know, take these two nights? And at first I was like, absolutely not, you know, cause I was so kind of in the rhythm of being at home and this and that. And also it was like Red Rocks, you know, like is it a month away? Really? I haven't played with my band for like 2 years, you know? You know, we pulled it together, we made it happen, and it was just wild. It was just wild to be up there again. I don't think it, I mean, obviously Red Rocks made it more, you know, intense, but I think if I was playing any place, it was just the craziest feeling. Mm. In some ways it was like, oh, you know, we never left. And in other ways it was like, what the fuck is going on right now? You know, it was just so many emotions, you know, yeah, you know, we're still kind of riding that wave as we re-enter this phase of bringing live music back and that connection back. And it's just crazy, yeah. You know, it's
and
crazy.
Of course, Trevor Hall is going out with his band in July, and you can go to Trevor. What's the TrevorHall.com?
TrevorHallMusic.com. We got all of our dates. We're doing a little run, you know, on the East Coast, and then we have some West Coast dates. I think that will be announced later in the year. But I was told, you know, I was told that I wouldn't be touring all of 2021. That was it, you know. And then I think, you know, the vaccines started getting rolled out, things started changing.
Yeah, and it's still, you know, there's some iffiness with this variant and whether the vaccines will work properly against it, all of that. People are not getting vaxxed.
Choosing
to go that way. But part of the pandemic, no, I mean, for me, it was this enormous presence of moving. Since there was no outward stuff, moving more and more and more into that inner place, where from there the perspective is a hell of a lot different.
Right.
And although in my work I had to keep, I mean, we were doing stuff for the foundation, the podcast, the films, and the courses, and everything
we
do.
Of course,
we were online somewhat before, you know. But not like the
and
not with where everybody else was at, because that's the thing. And you mentioned it, the way in which we are connected with each other worldwide is extraordinary. Right. We're all in this boat. You know, it's like I used to walk, taking a walk in still, although it's less dramatic because people aren't wearing masks now or anything.
But
there's that look in the eye back and forth. Here we are. And now it's we're coming. You know, it's that knowing and that inner knowing and how you're propelled when you're, you know, this year of absolutely not going anywhere for the most part. I mean, not everybody, but that's certainly the way it was with me. It created a whole atmosphere which allowed for some real revelations to go on. That perhaps might not have taken place. And also some, as you say, for many people, a lot of suffering, especially around the economy and so on. So, that's how it it's not nothing, and we'll continue to, we'll be living with this. This is not just going absolutely away.
Of course.
So, but there's some of that in and through the body, which is the name of Trevor's album came out last year. And one of the things that strikes me is just some press quote that I saw around. No, it's all good. All good. Just reflecting. I mean, you've had from a very young age a lot of opportunity around being around either mentors, older people, teachers, and traveling a lot throughout India, and the way that's all woven together, and it's certainly expressed in this record, and but the big word that hit me was humanness. The way that you started to experience that through all of the recent years of travel and meeting people and so on. And yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely the big theme, you know, of that album, and but also the chapter of my life, and still is. It's still something I've been meditating upon. I can't speak for everybody else's journey. I can only speak for my own. But I think I had a misunderstanding, you know, of when we enter a spiritual path and this type of thing. There is this attitude of, you know, nothing's real. You know, this our human experience is, this is all Maya illusion, and you know, everything is impermanent, and you know, your human emotions and this are all like kind of weak, lower ideas than these kind of high euphoric states of oneness, and you know, kind of calming the mind and going beyond your emotions and blah, 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 all that stuff, which is all certainly true. There's so many different paths, of course, you know. And, but for me, it kind of manifested as this kind of suffocation of myself in a way. And I would kind of push away all these different human emotions. And as a result, I think as time went on, I just became hard, you know, more and more kind of out of touch with myself, ironically. So it's kind of funny, you know. And I just started reflecting and looking back on all the kind of, I guess, big experiences I've had with different teachers or elders, or you know, love that I felt, you know, the times where I've experienced the most connection and love, and all these, I, you know, one of the common themes was like, God, you know, all these people are so incredibly human. Incredibly human. And it's the same, you know, when I look at Maharaji, when I look at Holy Mother and Thakur and all these divine saints, you know, they're giving these instructions on the path and this and that. But when I'm whatever with them, or just being with them, it's the feeling I get is just so incredibly, incredibly human. And as a result of that, it's almost like, you know, it's so human that you're so divine. And I thought that, like, God, that's really interesting, you know. And it was kind of like this divine paradox in my head. And I started to kind of do an experiment with myself, you know. Like, okay, let's not push anything away anymore. Let's express these things, and let's kind of not, you know, not let them control you, but just be with them. And I had a lot of influence from, you know, the Bal philosophy of West Bengal, and their whole thing is the human. Their whole thing is worshiping the human and that experience. So,
by the way, just before you go, these are the most incredible folk musicians in India. Mm-hmm. They're so unique. I have never heard anything quite like it.
It's incredible.
They dance. The percussive stuff is played alongside of the melodic stuff, the dotara, which is like a mini sarod. I mean, and the singing, the kind of ecstatic expression in the... Big Pink, right around the time of Big Pink with the band, they produced...
I know that album.
You know that album. Yeah,
yeah, I used to play that album
on the radio when I met Ram Dass, and I won't say the date.
Yeah, Nabani Kepa was on the cover of that. He was a great Bal Siddha. He was actually Purnadas's father, who was a very famous Bal. I'm sure you know, who played with Bob Dylan and all this.
Yeah, Purnadas was the man.
He had the title. West. Yeah,
we hung out together. When he came to the West.
Yeah, I've met him a few times. Yeah,
he must be very old now.
Yeah, but he kind of has that title, King of the Bals. Yeah. But the human, you know, and it's been kind of a wild ride, you know, kind of turning that way, and as a result, you know, I feel like this album has been the one, if not the first album of where I felt like I was really in joy, in really good, deep joy. Whereas all other albums, you know, I was, you know, having little, you know, or was dealing mainly with struggle and this and that, and, you know, which is all part of it too. But it was just different, you know. I remember one of the things I love so dearly about the Bal singers is you know, they'd gather to sing and they'd be in like a cremation ground and they'd be singing about, oh, at the end of your life, who can you call your own? You will have nobody. And the whole time they're doing this, they're smiling. You know, they're in such joy, you know, and that's something that I really thought deeply about, you know, for this record. And and that's kind of, yeah, just what came out. And I'm glad it did. It's definitely by far my favorite record I've...
Really?
I mean, that and Chapter of the Forest, which is interesting because Chapter of the Forest was kind of on the other... a little bit on the other side of the spectrum because I was going through kind of wanting to quit the live music, like this whole thing. And I wanted to do an album just to kind of heal myself. Mm. So that was kind of in a place created from a place of, wow, I'm really hurting, you know, and whereas In and Through the Body was just kind of like the joy of being human. Mm. And as a result, feeling all these divine emotions, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just, I'm still unpacking it. I don't know if all that made any sense, but...
No, absolutely. And you also talked about a sense of home as part of all this. And I can, that's, that word I can relate with more than almost any other word. If we can all get to a place where we are home...
Mm-hmm.
We're just relaxed. We're present. Yeah. We're be here now.
Yeah. Right?
And we understand that thing there is going to take care. We take care alongside of that thing there. Then you really have a sense of home and you have a sense of a perspective that's not from the story you tell yourself, you know.
It's like the Bals call it Sahojya, which is your natural state. Mm. You know, it's a natural state. It's not anything other than that. But
Tibetans call Dzogchen.
Dzogchen.
Yeah, Dzogchen, the natural state. Yeah,
yeah,
it's all the natural same. That's why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's not all the same. It's all different, Raghu. It's all no. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's true. Oh yeah. You know what?
You know what story I've thought about for years. You know, and I heard the story a bunch of times and never really resonated with me, and or not resonate. I just whatever didn't think about it too intensely. But the last few years, it really has become deep. There's, I'm sure you know it, but I'll just tell it because in Dada's book, By His Grace, he tells the story of after Maharaji left his body and he traveled to the ashrams, you know, Kanchi and Vrindavan and all this stuff. And he said in his book, he said, you know, now that Maharaji was gone physically, he couldn't really find his place at these at in the ashram. He felt confused and it just wasn't working, you know. And it was kind of ruining his kind of, I think, relationship, you know, with his beloved. And as that was happening, he remembered Maharaji telling him, Dada, you stay at home, right? And he didn't really understand it at that time, you know, until Maharaji left his body. And then after that, he said, okay, I'm gonna stay at home. And in the book, he said, it's quite interesting because now most of my time is spent within these four walls, right? And I always thought, when I read the story, I just thought, oh, that's interesting. That was just Dada's experience, right? Whatever. The story has taken on a whole different meaning for me. Maharaji's words are heavy, you know, and he said, you stay at home. And I've started to really take that as staying at home within oneself. And for somebody like me, who's very easily influenced by different ideas and this and that, which can be good, but it can also be really, it can take you away from yourself, you know, this flood of information and all this stuff. And I've really been trying to do that these days, stay at home. And you're just talking about home and being at home within oneself. It's not something that I really had, I feel like, until I've gotten more of a taste of it recently. And I think as a result of the pandemic and staying in one place, that's, you know, it. But yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
It's just such a beautiful story. And it's just taken on that deeper meaning, you know.
I hear you. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm going to extend that story. Not extend it. I'm going to add on.
Add on.
Yeah. I used to go to Dada's house a lot. Going to India, you know, because I've been going so often over all these years. And so I went there and he said, so, you know, they built a statue of Maharaji in Kanchi, which was the ashram we went to up in the Himalaya foothills. And he said, and they put it so that it blocked your view if you were in the upper part of the ashram down to his, where Maharaj used to stay in what we called the office, gone. And, you know, so I didn't want to, you know, I don't think they should have done that, whatever. He was not into it. So he'd stopped going to Kanchi. So he said, I stopped going to Kanchi, which was
Dada said that to you?
Yeah. He said, I stopped going to Kanchi. And then he said, people said, oh, Dada has left Maharaji.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, how could that happen? I didn't find him. He found me. How could I let go?
Oh, come on. That's wisdom right there. What a relationship.
By the way, everybody out there.
I think he says something like that in the book. Like, yeah, how can I have left him when he's the one that caught hold of me something.
Yeah, he caught hold. I didn't catch hold of him. He caught hold of me.
I mean, gosh.
And that's, by the way, there's many people who encountered Neem Karoli Baba Maharaji since he left that body.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we can't even estimate it, but it's happening. Right. It continues to happen because I get a lot of mail through the Love, Serve, Remember thing. It's extraordinary. And some people wonder, well, could that be real? I actually saw some. He was by, and I was getting gas at the gas station. That kind of shit.
Yeah,
it's all real. Anything can happen in any one moment. And certainly with beings like this. So anyhow, not to get gushy here, the more to the point is what you said, which is getting home. Mm-hmm. And home encompasses guru, it encompasses meeting teachers, saints, everything. Mm-hmm. It becomes, there is only one home. And settling into it in a relaxed manner is such a luxurious feeling, like going into, you know, when you go into a hot tub and you just let go. That kind of thing. I mean, for just me, because I love hot water. Could be a Wim Hof thing where you go into an ice bath, right? And you let go, if you can do that.
Well, I don't know about that type of home.
Oh, and we got to hear another song, okay? Because you can't be here with someone like you without a song. I want to, I really love the remix that you did with East Forest.
Yeah, I mean, he's just,
we love him.
Yeah, he's a total, he's definitely one of Hanuman's monkeys.
Yeah.
He's such a sweetheart, and, so talented.
And he's a homer too.
Yeah, he
can
is
sitting at home. Homer, we're going to call him. It's a club. We are homers.
is such a sweet guy. I mean, he did, you know, a remix for us on our last record, and we did some touring together. And when I was asked by my team about, you know, doing remixes for this record, I mean, I immediately said, you know, let's see if East Forest can do some, and he did too. So I got lucky.
Oh, that's so great.
But yeah, he did Monsoon Cloud, and then he did a song called Her that I wrote with my wife. So he remixed both of those, and they just turned out so beautiful. Yeah. You know, he's amazing.
Yeah. And by the way, everybody, he'll be on that compilation I mentioned that's going to be on Soulland Records in July with Trev and Krishnadas and many others. But let's hear this track, Her.
Yeah, okay, let's do Her.
And then you'll talk about the writing of it.
Yeah.
Here we go, Her.
My eyes open, your words spoken, old ways broken, all love chosen. Heartbeats growing, fragile moment, embrace challenge, we'll find balance.
Okay, so let's get the scoop. How did this...
The scoop. It's kind of funny, you know. It came about one day. My wife and I were in our place and just kind of bored, you know. And I was in the studio and she like came in and she's like, I'm bored, you know. And I was like, let's make a song, you know. And we had never kind of really like created together for music. Like she's sung on stuff, but it was like, let's both write a song. It's
she's
like
a
our
talented
song.
Artist, by the way.
Incredibly.
So this isn't out of the blue.
Yeah. You know, and she's a, you know, incredible writer too. So we started messing around, and we had this, you know, little idea that was maybe 40 seconds long, and that was it. And I put it on my hard drive, and that was it, you know. And, you know, being a musician, I record ideas all the time, and, you know, sometimes they turn into something and sometimes they don't, but I make sure to keep them all, you know. So we made this song, you know, this idea, and I think a year or so went by, and I traveled to North Carolina to record with Brad Cook, who produced In and Through the Body with me. And at the beginning of the process, he said, okay, first thing I want to do is I just want to listen down to everything that you have. And I had something like 35 ideas or something. And he's like, and let's just listen down to everything and we'll select the ones that we like or think that we have potential. So I was playing him all these songs off my computer. And then I wasn't going to play that idea because I kind of was just like, oh, it's just whatever, 40 seconds. And I was bored one day with my wife. But he's like, no, he was like, no, I want to hear it, you know. And so I played it for him and he was like, that one. We're definitely doing this. And really? I was like, okay. Yeah. He was like so fired up about it. And I was like, okay, cool. And so we recorded it. And this happens, you know, all the time where these words come forth, these ideas come forth, and I don't really know what they're about. And then after some time, the meaning kind of gets revealed. And this was definitely one of those songs. And, you know, the chorus to this is something that we talk about but don't show, you know. And this is something that my wife Emery and I meditate upon a lot. And even Maharaji said this. He said, you know, you should not talk about your wife, your wealth, or your sadhana, or else they'll go away. And I think that those are obviously three huge things, but I think what he was saying is the things that are intimate, you know, too intimate, once you release them, they lose some power, you know. And we've always tried to be careful with the things that are dear to us, with our, you know, with this, our lives, I guess, kind of more public than perhaps most people. This song is kind of about that, kind of mentioning certain things that, or hints of things that we experiences that we hold dear, but we're not gonna divulge in full, you know. And so it's really kind of about not sharing the deepest things of one's heart, you know. And so many teachers have told me this, mm-hmm. you know, not, and I'm sure you as well. It's, we obviously share things that are dear to us. We share these, you know, experiences and this and that, but there are things, and you'll know it, you'll feel it in your body. You're like, oh man, I don't know if I should really, you know, because I've done it before and I'm like, oh shit, it's not the same anymore, you know. And it's interesting in a culture, especially now in a Western culture, not even West, just in our culture now, everything is like share what you're eating, share what you're listening to, share who you're talking to, share your friends, share your ideas, share your opinion. It's just everything.
Worst of all, share your thoughts.
Share your thoughts, you know. It's like, I don't want to hear your thoughts. I got so many thoughts. I don't need to hear yours too. You know, so it was just kind of, yeah, speaking to that intimate place. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Wow. Great song. Great, yeah, and the mix is phenomenal.
Yeah, he's forced it. So, oh God, he just took it to a place I didn't expect and very happy.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
We're forgetting one major thing. One day in your life, this is your life. It's an old TV show. Let's see. One time, I happened to tune in on social media to you. You did live evenings. I don't know if you're still doing them. And I looked at you and I went, "Oh, this poor guy, he looks awful. He hasn't slept in 3 years. He's like,
God, yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit around. God. That's a transition, right?
Fatherhood. Yeah. I mean, wow. You know, I mean, we're still in the, you know, in the thick of it. Kailash is now just over 3 months old.
Oh my
and,
that's right. Oh,
yeah. God. You know, it just shatters your, again, it shatters what you think, you know, and all this stuff. And, so many people tell you, oh, how it's going to feel and what to expect and blah, blah, blah. But you can't really like listen to all that stuff because it's so different for everybody. Mm-hmm. We had a plan, obviously, like everybody does. And that plan went out the window. Mm-hmm. And we had Emery had a very tough labor and birth, and then we were in the hospital for about a week in the NICU because Kailash wasn't breathing correctly, and it was just a wild ride, you know. Emery's he was born just after Shivratri on Amavasya, the new moon, and you know the name Kailash is literally translated, it's said to mean like precious jewel of snow. And it was funny because that weekend was the biggest snowstorm in Boulder history or whatever. And we were kind of scared about being able to get to the hospital, but we got there before it started. And, you know, she had like a 36-hour labor. And, right as he came out, the first kind of snowflake started to fall, and it was a pretty magical moment. Mm. But it was a heavy moment, very heavy. And what we've been talking about is the door, right? The portal that's opened, right? Of birth and death and all that. And I felt so weird because here I was at, you know, my first child's birth, and I've never thought about death so much in my life. And and at first I thought that was wrong, you know, like, oh, you're not supposed to be thinking about that. This is supposed to be the best moment of your life and blah, blah, blah. But it was super intense. And even now, you know, when I hold him and look at him, you know, it's a love that just hurts. It's like you can't, you know, but I still, all I think about is just, you know, impermanence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some folks may say, oh, it's so morbid and this and that, but no. I don't think so. I think that it's just provided a whole nother perspective on my life, our lives. It's just been crazy. It's just been, you know, crazy. So we are just, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, it's, I don't feel like he's mine in so many ways, you know, which in reality is not, right? But I just feel like it's just a miracle, you know, especially the mother. The mother is such a miracle. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we are. His first show was Red Rocks. I told him, bro, I said, don't get used to this, kid. This doesn't happen every night. There's a lot of bars and clubs, and that's what you got to get used to. But yeah, it's just been amazing. And yeah, we're on the wave.
Talk about the gigantic attachment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why death comes in.
Yeah,
because that is the attachment, the realization of the depth of that and the potential and the reality of impermanence, those combo of those things is what presents, you know, where it may not have presented quite the same way, you know, up until that moment. And I well know what you're talking about. My son, who got when he was just over a year, spinal meningitis in a hot springs in New Mexico.
Oh, God.
And came within 3 millimeters of dying in the hospital. Yeah. That's a whole other story. But he was named by one of our great mentors, Casey Tiwari, whose movie we are working on right now, documentary.
Oh, God, I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, no,
jeez Louise.
Yeah. So his name, because your son's name is Kailash, Mrutyunjay.
Oh my gosh, no
conqueror
way.
Conqueror over
death. Wow.
We don't call them, hey, conquer over death, come on over. Coffee is on.
Hey, you want to watch some cartoons, conquer over death?
No, not at all. Oh, God, yeah.
That's so interesting, though, right, that he named him that.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, it was his wife, Ma, who named him.
Ma, yeah.
Casey's wife.
Wow.
And then I went to India and went up to these incredible Shiva temples with them in
Jageshwar.
Jageshwar, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's where they have the lingam of Mrityunjaya is one, and the other is the light lingam, Jyoti lingam, one of the ones that Shankaracharya put up 12 around India, I think.
Wow.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So we got two representations of Shiva now.
We
have to introduce them at some point.
Yeah, of course.
Which we
will. Just wild, you know. It's just wild, you know. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's just, and you just, you know, you just kind of think like, oh yeah, it's just so not about you, you know. It's just, and you know, it's just like, I thought I was doing good. And then he pops along and you're like, oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah,
it's the other thing that's quite interesting is that, you know, just shattering all these kind of preconceptions of birth and birth stories and, you know, Emery and I talk about it all the time, but you know, I think there's this kind of preconceived thing where, you know, the baby comes along and you've lost your life. Your life's over. Yeah. You don't have any time for anything and you're just so busy and blah, 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 blah. Which, you know, part of it to a degree is true. Yeah, like we're super busy. It's really hard for me to get back to people and this and that. But I choose to look at it as it's simplified so much. All this bullshit that I had in my head that I gave so much attention to, I just don't have time for it anymore, you know? And,
love that.
You know, I can't do all these different projects all right now. All I can do is sit and hold him, you know? And I can either, you know, lament about that and be like, oh yeah, my life's gone, all this stuff. Or it's like, it's simple right now, you know? And that's something that's been really interesting too, is kind of killing that just horrible story of you know, oh yeah, whatever, we have no time for anything, which is true. Yeah, Emery and I don't have a lot of time for anything, but I want to look at it in a healthy way. And that's just been really interesting to kind of cut out a lot of just the unnecessary stuff in your mind. It's just... Yeah. I don't have to, I can't, I literally cannot think about it. I can't, you know? So, it's so interesting.
Back to home base, right?
That's
the theme of this chat.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of Casey Tiwari, I remember reading in Krishnan Das's book that, you know, Casey like didn't want to get married and like all this stuff. And then he, you know, the story, he made Maharaji sign his thing in gold ink that you're in charge of this marriage and all this stuff. And then Casey had a bunch of kids and he told Krishnan Das, you know, I didn't experience my first samadhi until after I had my children and kids and all this stuff, right? Because, you know, we have this preconception of spiritual life, live in a cave, no relation, no human emotion. It's like, I don't want all that. Yeah. I don't want that.
It's got nothing to do with home.
But it's interesting, right? It's just interesting. Yeah. It's just interesting.
Yeah. I actually, talking about being in a cave or being in human in life, I asked, I got it. This is, again, a story I can't tell right now because it's too long. But Maharaji told me I'd be meeting an incredible Lama and get teachings, and it happened 2 days later. And it was Kalu Rinpoche, one of the great Tibetan Lamas of the last century. And I did get a chance, and what I asked was, geez, I've been up in the Himalayas with my guru and, you know, meditating in caves, but it's just incredible. Now I'm here in Delhi, and it's like, wow, I can't even, you know, put one foot in front of the other. Do you need to be in the cave?
I said to him, and he just looked at me, and poured all this energy, and he told me, not at all.
Mm.
The true enlightenment, and he gave me the example of the eight siddhas of India, all who became realized through work. One was a cobbler, one was a spun cloth for yarn for cloth, weaver, one was a made clay pots. Every one of them, through that process and giving everything to it and becoming one with it, they
beautiful
went beyond duality. And he said, so no, do not need. Good to go to a cave once in a while, maybe. But
yeah.
That's me. That wasn't him.
All right, beautiful.
Can I finish with... well, first of all, okay, I have one more poem for you. From Lord of the, from Basavana is the saint who wrote these poems. But so, and then... we're going to play a kirtan that you did
years
ago to Mother, which is something beloved to me personally. And but we're going to, so I'm going to read the poem, and then this is a little TMI, but we're going to then say goodbye, and then we're going to, everybody listening out there, hang in and listen and just have this, the beauty of this wonderful track from Trevor, from Ron Priya. This is Ron Priya. Trevor was doing something else that day.
True that.
All right, here it is. Can there be devotion in words and more words? Can there be devotion unless the body is spent, unless the heart is spent, unless the wealth is spent? The Lord of the Meeting Rivers plays tricks with you until your bones stick out. Can there be devotion unless you stand his play? Can there?
Gosh.
That, to me, is like the highest poem I've read.
Oh, my gosh.
I hadn't read this book in a long time. And I went through because I wanted to share some of this with you in that one.
Oh, my God.
That's the be-all, end-all. Hey, thank you so much.
Oh, this was just so good. I missed you so much.
I know.
I missed you. So thanks so much for having me. It's always such a pleasure.
Everybody, of course, you'll get linked up to the record and the songs and... be able to look at the tour schedule so you can say hi to
please
when
do
he's out there. And we will be back next week. This is Raghu from Mind Rolling on Be Here Now Network. Go to BeHereNowNetwork.com. By the way, Ron Priya, guess who we now have on the network? Alan Watts.
No way.
Yeah.
That's
his son,
awesome.
Mark, and we put something together that he's introducing talks that haven't been around for like 40 years.
Oh, that's just so, you guys are just crushing it.
Yeah, so we're really, really
happy.
That's
wonderful.
That.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's really awesome.
And everybody look out for the, go to ramdas.org and BeHereNowNetwork.com and put your email in so you can get notifications, and particularly about this compilation that's coming out, the Soul Land compilation with Ron Priya, Trevor on it, and a bunch of other wonderful, wonderful people. So thank you again, and we'll see you next
week. Thank you so much. Ram Ram.
jago jago ma jago jago ma janani hey gori devi rana chandi devi jaya gori devi rana chandi devi jaya shiva Jaya Shiva Ramana Jagoma Jaya Shiva Ramana Jagoma Jaya Shiva Ramana Jagoma Jaya Shiva Ramana Jagoma Jagadodharini Mata Durga Jagadodharini Ma Jagadodharini Mata Durga Jagadodharini Ma Jago jago ma jago jago ma jago jago ma janani jago jago ma jago jago ma jago jago ma Jaya Gauri Devi Rana Chandi Devi Jaya Shiva Ramana Jagoma 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 Jagadodharini Mata Durga Jagadodharini
Sitaram, 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 Jaya Jaya Sitaram, 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 Jaya Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram. Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya Jaya Sitaram,
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 Sitaram, Sitaram, Sitaram, Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya Jaya Sitaram, 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 Jaya Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram. Shri Rama 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 Shri Rama 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 Shri Rama 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 Shri Rama 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 Shri Rama 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 Shri Rama 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 Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Shri 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 Aksa Shri Neem Karoli Santo Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri 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 Aksa Shri Shri Siddhi Mai Ki Jai.
Shiva Mahadeva Namah Shivaya Sada Shiva 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 Mahadeva Namah Shivaya Sada Shiva 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 Mahadeva Namah Shivaya Sada Shiva 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 Mahadeva Namah Shivaya Sada Shiva 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 Mahadeva Namah Shivaya Sada Shiva
Shiva Shiva Mahadeva Namah Shivaya Sada Shiva Shiva Shiva
Durga Durga Mahamaya Namah Durgaya Namah
Shiva, Shiva, Mahadev. Namah Shivaya, Sada Shiva.
Shiva, Shiva, Mahadev. Namah Shivaya, Sada Shiva. Shiva, Shiva, Mahadev. Namah Shivaya.
Shri Rama 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 Rama
Om Namo Guru Dev.